Chapter 21. Thinking. In his classic textbook, Quantum Theory, David Bohm points out that there is a certain analogy between our thought processes and quantum systems. Bohm writes that the analogy between thought and quantum processes can still be helpful in giving us a better feeling for quantum theory. For example, if we try to observe what we are thinking about at the very moment we are reflecting upon a particular subject, the way our thought process proceeds immediately changes. Jung writes, "Nowhere does the observer disturb the experiment more than in psychology." Just like a quantum system, our thought process and inner experience becomes different from what it was the moment we try to observe and reflect upon it. Observing our own psyche changes the psyche, both the part of it that is being observed as well as the part of it that is observing. As with the observer and observed in quantum theory, the thought and thinker can never be separated. The thinker is the thought. They form a totality. To quote Philip K. Dick, "The universe, then, is thinker and thought. And since we are a part of it, we as humans are, in the final analysis, thoughts of and thinkers of those thoughts." This is similar to when we, as a conscious ego, observe the unconscious. Our interaction reciprocally affects both the unconscious as well as ourselves. In other words, the process of becoming conscious inevitably affects the unconscious, which instantaneously loops back so as to complete the circle, changing our consciousness. To quote Pauli, "The mere apprehension of the dream has already, so to speak, altered the state of the unconscious, and thereby, in analogy with a measuring observation in quantum physics, has created a new phenomenon. The psyche is the means by which we observe the psyche. It is in the peculiar position of being simultaneously subject and object of its own contemplation. In the domain of the psyche, the observer is truly the observed. Is the nature of the psyche mirroring the quantum nature of reality? Is the dynamic in which the thinker reflecting upon thought changes the thoughts being reflected upon a process within the inner light of consciousness that is analogous to what quantum physics has discovered taking place in the outer light of electromagnetism when we observe a quantum particle? The laws of the outer light of electromagnetism may indeed be a lower level reflection of the laws of the inner or higher dimensional light of consciousness, thereby demonstrating a powerful example of the alchemical dictum, as above, so below. The properties of both our thought processes and quantum systems do not exist separately from and independently of their surrounding environment, but are instead properties that arise and take on meaning in connection to and relation with other elements. This is similar to how a word takes on its meaning relative to and within the context of the other words it is used with. By itself, a single word loses its nuanced meaning. Similarly, we can't understand a musical composition by analyzing its separate parts. It takes on its meaning only when experienced as a whole. Due to their indivisibility with other elements, both our thought process and quantum systems hang together with a deeper environment they are a part of, and therefore cannot be analyzed too much in terms of distinct elements. The intrinsic nature of each element doesn't exist in an isolated fashion on its own, but is context-dependent upon the greater environment in which it takes on its nuanced existence. Speaking of our thought process, Jung suggests that if we wish to form a vivid picture of a non-spatial being of the fourth dimension, we should do well to take thought as a being for our model. A new idea often comes suddenly, falling into our head out of the blue, many times without any apparent direct cause. Bohm points out that the production of new ideas, which are like inspirations from the beyond, presents a strong analogy to a quantum jump. Bohm concludes his section on the analogy between our thoughts and the world of the quantum by writing that the behavior of our thought processes may perhaps reflect, in an indirect way, some of the quantum mechanical aspects of the matter of which we are composed. The fact that our thought process and quantum reality are so analogous makes one wonder whether this is not mere coincidence, but is revealing something about the thought-like nature of our world. Interestingly, the first words of the Buddha in the Dhammapada, a collection of the sayings of the Buddha, are, "All that we are is the result of what we have thought. It is founded on our thoughts. It is made up of our thoughts." Recognizing the subtle, illusory, but reality-creating power of our thoughts allows us to create with our thoughts, rather than being created by them. There is a type of thinking that not only creates problems, but is the very problem itself. This type of thinking creates an apparent problem and then tries to solve the problem, all the while forgetting that it is creating the very problem it is trying to solve. The more it thinks in this way, the more problems it creates. Once our mode of thinking creates problems, it then has all the evidence it needs to confirm its viewpoint that our situation is indeed problematic, a viewpoint that attains a self-generating, seemingly autonomous life of its own. Thinking can then become a cyclic loop that continually feeds back upon itself as it endlessly creates and feeds on more problems by its very activity. One of our greatest talents as human beings is our incredible ability to deceive ourselves and then forget that we have done so. Thought is a perfect accomplice in this process of pulling the wool over our own eyes. Bohm was of the opinion that practically all of the problems of the human race are due to the fact that thought is not proprioceptive, that is, aware of what it is doing. The body is proprioceptive in that it has a self-perception. It knows when it is moving, and it knows what it is doing. Unlike the body, however, thought is not proprioceptive in the sense that thought creates something, forgets that it did so, relates to its creation as if it didn't create it, and then reacts to its own self-creation as if it existed objectively. Is an analogous process reflected in quantum physics to the extent that the physicists think the world and their experiments exist objectively, separately from themselves. At the moment the physicists think the world exists objectively, it is effectively true for them, via the aforementioned process of as viewed so appears. They find themselves living within an experiential domain in which whatever they believe to be true appears convincingly to be the case, even if it isn't. We can't get around the fact, as quantum physics continually reminds us, that we are participating in creating our experience of the universe. Speaking of the physical world, what Bohm refers to as the whole field of the finite, he writes, "It has the appearance of independent existence, but that appearance is merely the result of an abstraction of our thought." Bohm is implicating thinking as being at the bottom of our having fallen under the persistent illusion of imagining the world to exist separate from ourselves. What we take to be reality is based on what we believe, which is a function of our perceptions. What we perceive depends upon what we look for, which is related to what we think. What we think depends on what we perceive, which determines what we believe, which, coming full circle, affects what we assume to be reality. As Bohm points out, thinking is at the root of this process. Thinking can easily produce a thought which conceives of or implicitly presumes a separate thinker that it imagines is thinking it. In attributing its origin to this thinker, which it experiences as if it were real and separate from itself, thought then behaves as if it were produced by this thinker, which further serves to entrench the illusory delusion of a separate thinker that has produced it. All the while, the truth of the situation is actually the other way around. The idea of a thinker is itself produced by thought, and therefore cannot be separated from the process of thinking. Thought thinks itself. Like matter, our thoughts are in a continual process of movement, flux, and flow. As Bohm writes in his book, Wholeness and the Implicate Order, whenever one thinks of anything, it seems to be apprehended either as static or as a series of static images. Yet, in the actual experience of movement, one senses an unbroken, undivided process of flow, to which the series of static images and thought is related to a series of still photographs, might be related to the actuality of a speeding car. Then there is the further question of what is the relationship of thinking to reality. As careful attention shows, thought itself is in an actual process of movement. That is to say, one can feel a sense of flow in this stream of consciousness, not dissimilar to the sense of flow in the movement of matter in general. May not thought itself thus be a part of reality as a whole? But then, what could it mean for one part of reality to know another? And to what extent would this be possible? Bohm asks a good question. What could it mean for one part of reality, which is seamlessly and inseparably whole, to know another part. And he presents a radical idea that thought itself is a part of reality as a whole, which is to say that thought is ultimately not separate from, but interrelated to the physical world. Thought is not just passively reflecting or representing the physical world, but is somehow connected to the physical world in such a way that it affects matter while concurrently being affected by matter. This is to say that both thought and matter are inseparable aspects of one undivided process or hollow movement, as Bohm calls their dynamic indivisibility. To quote Bohm, in this flow, mind and matter are not separate substances. Rather, they are different aspects of one whole and unbroken movement. This insight makes an important break from the long-entrenched implicit assumption of Western Cartesian dualism that views the domain of thought, res cogitans, as being immaterial and thereby having nothing to do with the realm of matter, res extensa. To quote quantum theoretician Henry Stapp, the new physics presents prima facie evidence that our human thoughts are linked to nature by non-local connections. What a person chooses to do in one region seems immediately to affect what is true elsewhere in the universe. Our thoughts do something. Our thoughts and intentions appear to have the power to influence, change, and transform our world. Quantum physics, in uncovering the nature of nature, might at the same time be unveiling the nature of our own minds, which are clearly a part of the very nature that they are seeking to understand. According to Buddhist teachings, in understanding the nature of outer phenomena, we can understand that its nature is not different from our own minds, which is to see the true nature of everything. Heisenberg writes that modern physics has perhaps opened the door to a wider outlook on the relation between the human mind and reality. It is becoming glaringly obvious that the structure of nature and the structure of our minds are reflections of each other, comprising a deeper unity that embraces both in an underlying wholeness. Quantum physics is discovering that the basic building blocks of our physical world seem to be of the nature of ideas, images, and thoughts. It is not hard to imagine that the thought-like foundation and nature of the universe affects and interfaces with our own thinking. The very process of thinking can concretize the continually changing, impermanent, and flowing movement of our dreamlike world, or not. Being a part of reality as a whole, the process of thinking itself appears to be reflecting back the unbroken, undivided process of flow, which is the nature of our universe. This underlying flow exists prior to the thought forms which arise and dissolve in the flux, similar to how the movement of a flowing river informs its whirlpools. In any case, the new physics is reflecting back to us that thought needs to be a factor, perhaps a major factor, in our equation of giving meaning and measure to our experience. By describing and creating models for reality, thought is an essential part of the reality it is trying to represent. Thus, thought itself must be included in our ever-evolving model of the universe. To quote Percy Bridgman, by far the most important consequence of the conceptual revolution brought about in physics by relativity and quantum theory lies not in such details as that meter sticks shorten when they move, and that simultaneous position and momentum have no meaning, but in the insight that we had not been using our minds properly, and that it is important to find out how to do so. How amazing that the cutting edge of physics is potentially giving us insights into new ways of thinking about things, as well as into the nature of thought itself. Nobel Prize-winning physicist William Lawrence Bragg writes, "The important thing in science is not so much to obtain new facts as to discover new ways of thinking about them."